Good evening, everyone. Welcome. The City of Kirkwood Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, our commission meeting for September 19, 2018, is now in session. Welcome. We will be hearing petitions tonight that contain site plan review by ordinance. The public is invited to comment on petitions containing site plan review. Therefore, I will read the ground rules, and they are: the public comment portion of site plan review provides interested parties an opportunity to address the Planning and Zoning Commission regarding a specific agenda item. Comments should be limited to 3 minutes, that all interested parties can participate. Repeating information stated by another speaker should be avoided. Those wishing to address the commission will fill out a speaker card at the entrance and deliver the card to Ms. Dodal. The public comment period is not a question and answer session between citizens and the commission or between citizens and city staff. The commission will not respond to comments or answer questions, but will consider the input provided. After hearing all comments, the commission may request city staff to address and or research certain items as deemed necessary. So proceeding, roll call. Ms. Dodal, let the record show that 7 of our 9 commissioners are present this evening. Commissioners Drool and Outen are absent, and their absence is excused. Commissioners, do you have edits or revisions to the minutes of August 15, 2018 Planning and Zoning meeting? Any comments or edits? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the August 15, 2018 minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Very good. All in favor, raise your right hand. It's unanimous. Passes. Our first item of unfinished business is PZ0418 Site Plan Review Extension, the Dental Suite, 204 South Clay Avenue and 142 West Madison Avenue. Mr. Raich. I can hear you, but I don't think you're turned on.
Anyway,
it's on.
So this is a time extension request for the site plan approval for you guys last August, for those of you that were on. It's 204 South Clay, so it's just a southeast corner. It's per our regulations in the site plan, it allows, the regulations allow for up to 2 extensions for a period not to extend 12 months per extension. The applicant sent their conversations with them, they indicated potential other options, but wanted to they're not sure exactly what happened, but they still want to have the opportunity. So I am requesting the maximum 12 months.
Any questions for Mr. Raich? Patty, do we have any public comments?
I don't have any cards.
Okay, very good. Well, I think the recommendation from staff is that we go ahead and hear a motion to approve. So I'm going to read that. Do I have a motion to approve PZ0418 Site Plan Review Extension, the Dental Suite, 204 South Clay Avenue and 142 West Madison Avenue? Do I have a motion to approve? Second.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. Raise your right hand to approve. It is unanimous. The extension is recommended, and it goes on to City Council. Our second item of unfinished business is PZ0619 Special Use Permit, Motor Vehicle Repair and Site Plan Review, Plaza Tire, 915 South Kirkwood Road. Mr. Raich.
Thank you, Chair. So this item is a special use permit. This is the site again. The item was introduced before you at the July meeting. At the July 18th meeting, we had and I'll go through kind of it. So this is the site just south of, on the west side of Kirkwood Road, south of the Burlington Northern San Bay Railroad Track. Currently the rinse and blooms, so we have some photos of the site, same photos that were shown to you. Summary, nothing's changed since it was the number of access points, have seen it, or in what your, the major request, time I again, this is the July 18th, we had the first subcommittee meeting on site on July 25th. Shortly after that, we had asked staff to kind of do an informal survey of other tire shops throughout the city to see what their parking situation was. As noted in the report, the subcommittee just wanted that as a basis for them to compare. They realized that a lot of those maybe non-conforming situations, since many of them did have parking rates lower than our zone current requires. They just wanted that information in front of them as they applicant then resubmitted plans on August 22nd, and we had a second subcommittee meeting on August 31st, primarily to talk about the access points. And that's one of staff's initial comments was the so that meeting on the 31st, staff listening to the applicant and the planning board, and then they resubmitted shortly after that. So here's the your packets. I've circled in red just a few items, so I'll start with maybe the easier one here at the bottom. That oval, longer oval, is just highlighting approximately 110 feet or so of off-site sidewalk that they're going to be, they're proposing to provide. That's not required, but that connection will be all the way to Prospect Avenue, and that part of the means of their justification for requesting parking reduction was going above and beyond on pedestrian. The two circles here are the two proposed access points. So a lot of discussion on this. Originally, they were proposed full access. We'll note too, the existing site does have two drives that are actually much wider. So they've narrowed them down to meet the maximum. As I mentioned, staff's original forth, and ultimately what found as a compromise after that subcommittee. Access point, so that out, a left turn out, a right turn in, a left turn in. South, they're proposing to left turn out. Eliminate some of the conflicts for and they would do what they have islands to so staff has evaluated that, and it is we did get initial comments. Sidewalk extended to Prospect Avenue from up here. There's a condition in there, a couple of trees that may or may not be able to be seen. Recommendation. The applicant does have.
Very good. Are there any comments or questions for Mr. Raich? Thank you. Would the petitioner like to address the commission?
Good evening, great presentation. Thank you, Ross. Here's our site plan, commercial businesses all on our site, right in the middle, 1.01. Property right there in the middle on red. The parking lot of the building. Couple pictures around. It's used as a flowers. We actually like to make it look like. Out the mountains.
I was gonna say.
We're doing a lot of work.
This is impressive.
Got a vote over here. But that is our basic unit there, and we don't show any landscaping in front of ruins the rendering, but there's plenty. Again, we have two issues that. The plan is, like Jonathan said, originally very similar. And also located as. On our. Item is, and Jonathan. Customer parking is on the south side. And it has to be that way, and I'll show you. We simply cannot flip the building because of the. We have to have this. As a building where we want. People driving back behind here. Tires and storage. Up in staff always make you feel very welcome. All about the mountains in the back.
Yeah. Hang on. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Jim?
You might want to highlight the sidewalk and the landscaping all at your expense and what you're going to do.
Trying to keep. So we'll. great fit.
Prospect.
Sidewalk again, our property line is here. Continue a sidewalk from here.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Hey, do we, I'm sorry, Ron, did you have a?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do we have any speaker cards?
No, I don't.
Okay, very good. Will the subcommittee now read the subcommittee report, please?
We will. Petition number PZ0619. Action requested special use permit, motor vehicle repair minor, and site plan review Plaza Tire. Applicant Plaza Tire Service, Inc. and Roads Development Company, LLC. Property location 915 South Kirkwood Road. Zoning I-1 Light Industrial District. Recommendation. The subcommittee recommends that the application be approved with the following conditions. One, the project shall be constructed and maintained in accordance with the plans referenced in the drawing submitted portion of this report, except as noted herein. Two, based on the justification submitted per section 220.2, the requested modification from 48 parking spaces required to 38 parking spaces shall be granted. The modification is contingent upon the approximate 110 linear feet of off-site sidewalk being provided at the applicant's expense to connect the site to Prospect Avenue. Three, all proposed public sidewalks shall be constructed so that they terminate in a manner compliant with ADA PROWAG. Four, site plan approval from MoDOT, including but not limited to the proposed restrictions on the entrances, is required prior to the issue of permits. Five, if applicable, proper ground disturbance permits through MDNR shall be obtained prior to the issue of permits from the city. Six, the applicant shall reevaluate whether trees number 8 and 9 can be preserved. If said trees can be preserved, the tree study and landscape plans shall be revised to reflect this change prior to the issue of permits. Seven, the applicant shall comply with all standard conditions as listed in Exhibit A. Respectfully submitted, Ron Evans and Jim O'Donnell.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to approve PZ06-19 special use permit motor vehicle repair and site plan review Plaza Tire 915 South Kirkwood Road, subject to conditions contained in the subcommittee report? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second? Second. Okay, very good. We now have a motion to approve and a second, so I'll open up discussion of the subcommittee report, and I will start on my left with Matt.
I have no questions. Thank you.
James?
No comment.
Jim? David?
Questions.
Jim? Ron? Okay. Well, I had one comment about the recommendation portion, and this would be more of a clarification, but I'm looking at condition number 4, and I was a little confused as I read it. Site plan approval from MoDOT, including but not limited to the proposed restrictions on the entrances, is required prior to issuance of permits, but doesn't really say what those proposed restrictions are. However, it would appear to me that it refers back to the subcommittee report, the last two paragraphs on page 3. Would that be correct? I guess that's really a question to the subcommittee, and I have a reason for asking it.
Yes.
Well, and Jim, do you?
Yeah.
Then I would propose this modification to condition number 4. I'd like to add this language, and I'll just start from the beginning. Site plan approval from MoDOT, including but not limited to the proposed restrictions on the entrances, is required prior to issuance of permits. Proposed restrictions being, number 1, southern entrance is right out only exit, and number 2, left turn into the site at northern entrance and left turn out at southern entrance is prohibited. I think that adds some clarification.
You're not proposing a change, you're just clarifying what we've...
No, I'm actually proposing that that language that I just, read be added to the condition number four.
Right, but it doesn't change what was...
That is correct. That's, actually, that's a paraphrase of what's contained in paragraphs, the bottom two paragraphs on page three. So I'd like to make a motion that the following language be added to condition number four. Proposed restrictions being, number one, southern entrance is right out only exit. Number two, left turn into the site at northern entrance and left turn out at southern entrance is prohibited. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion? Ron, I'll start with you.
Nope. I mean, I understand your clarification completely.
Jim?
Yeah, is that... my only question I have, is that the intent, Jonathan, that is clear and...
I was having trouble following the language. I'm sorry, Alan. But I think, I mean, I understand if it's to reflect the what the report, what the subcommittee report, proposed restrictions. I mean, essentially, so Alan, just to be, so the what the restrictions that are proposed are prohibiting a, let me pull up my... Yeah, let me... The condition, if it wants to reflect what's being proposed, it should be that a left turn out is prohibited at the southern entrance and a left turn in is prohibited at the northern entrance. Those are the only movements being prohibited.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Let me read what I read a moment ago.
Okay.
Number one, southern entrance is right out only exit.
But it has both entrance options? Is that your intent?
Yes.
Okay.
It might be better to phrase it the way he just did. I think that's still what you're going for, but...
Well, really, let me put it this way. When I read condition number four, it left me dangling. I wasn't sure exactly what it was getting to, other than a reference to the conditions in the bottom two paragraphs of page three. So I was really just trying to add a little language that clarified that.
Can I offer counter language, or?
Well, sure you can, John.
Sorry. So adding the statement then, proposed restrictions being, one, prohibition of left turn out on the southern entrance, and two, prohibition of left turn in at the northern entrance. Acceptable.
Left turn, well, so number two, left turn. Let's see, left turn into the site at northern entrance and left turn out at southern entrance is prohibited. So I think what you're trying to do is discuss, number one would be the southern entrance or exit, and number two would be just address the northern. Would that be correct?
Yes, and to specifically reference the movement that's prohibited rather than describing the movements that are allowed. That's all.
Okay.
Just, that's all.
Well, I would accept your modification. Why don't you read it one more time, starting from the beginning, site plan approval.
Okay, so condition four would be amended to read site plan approval for MoDOT, including but not limited to the proposed restrictions on the entrances is required prior to issuance of permits. Proposed restrictions being, one, prohibition of left turn out on the southern entrance, and two, prohibition of the left turn in at the northern entrance.
Right. Yep. Very good.
Great.
Correct.
That's what it says in the last paragraph.
Not
on
right.
Page.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Okay. So we have a motion to approve the modified language. Today, while I go through the press again, Ron?
Second. No problem. No issues.
Okay.
No issues.
All right. David?
With that.
We're good? All right, then all in favor of the modification to condition number four, as read by our city planner, please raise your right hand. All right, so that modification to number four is approved. I don't believe, were there any further comments? Seeing none, I will now call for a vote to approve PZ 0619 special use permit, motor vehicle repair and site plan review, Plaza Tire 915. South Kirkwood Road, subject to the conditions contained in the subcommittee report as modified. All in favor, raise your right hand. It is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. So you're on to city council. Our third item of unfinished business is PZ0919 Downtown Master Plan Recommendations, Round 1, B2 Regulations. Jonathan, did you want to start us up?
Thank you. So, as you all know, we're working our way through the regulations that are pertaining to B2. And the subcommittee had this one, and there were good discussions, good long meetings, and the subcommittee came up with reports on the first two items. The first one is parking lot height. We pretty much have the other two hammered out, and we'll likely have so with parking lots, the idea was downtown study, it was just the ability for people to develop parking lots as a standalone permit, because that would not be a great use for downtown, gaps in the built environment. So the language, not only Steph and the subcommittee discussed not only putting this in the B2, D1, D2, D4, D5, and I1 districts, when you're looking at the study area. So the proposed language went through each of those districts and affected the proposed language for primary use in the downtown master plan. Attach the report as well. Just keep in mind that downtown master plan study area is further than just Clay and Taylor bodily design. It goes Park Center area, and then the other point I want to make is just allows for businesses to have surface parking associated with their business, and still parking structures if it's accessory to your business use. So that
but I might just, if you'd permit me, just a comment on perspective here. You know, this commission approved the downtown master plan and parking study, and city council did also. So this project, with the four pieces that the subcommittee worked on, is for the purpose of aligning the code in a way that would facilitate the implementation of the downtown study, which has been approved, as I mentioned. So what we're trying to do here is tweak the code so that it will help and facilitate the implementation of that study, which we think is important. This isn't just about code changes in a vacuum. This is code for a very, very specific purpose. Common good.
Okay, very good. Any further questions for go ahead, Jim.
So would this prevent, if I had a business on one lot and I wanted to buy the adjacent lot, if I wanted parking for that building?
No, it's still, our parking code still allows you to have, I think it's within 1,000 feet even, to have parking for your business, not on your property, but still within a certain, that still would be accessory to your business, as long as it's, there are a number of situations like that in downtown. The AT&T building, for instance, has lots that aren't exactly Washington, but at one time they were required for their heavy offices. So it doesn't take possibility of continued service.
Our theme here, by the way, we decided early on, was preserve the density, but with some flexibility where necessary. Because as you may recall from the park, from the downtown study, density was really, really important to our consultants to create a walking environment and so forth. So we're trying with the code changes to live up to density, but we know we need some flexibility. So that was kind of our theme.
Okay, very good. Will the subcommittee read the subcommittee report, please?
Call on some of my fellow commissioners to do that. David, you want to read the first one?
Okay. Action required.
Yeah, PZ9-19, parenthesis A, and parenthesis.
Okay, all right. Petition number PZ9-19A. Action required. Amendments to City Kirkwood Code of Ordinances, Appendix A. The City of Kirkwood Zoning Code edits pertains to parking lots as a permitted or special use in B1, B2, B4, B5, and I1 districts, specifically sections 500.3, 510.2, 510.3, 530.2, 540.2, and 600.2. So the recommendation is that the subcommittee recommends that the amendments as detailed in Exhibit B to sections A-500.3, 510.2, 510.3, 530.2, 540.2, and 600.2 of the zoning code be approved. Respectfully submitted, Jim O'Donnell, David Eagleton, Ron Evans, and Matt Mallinckrodt.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We now have a motion to approve PZ09-19 Downtown Master Plan Recommendations, Round 1, B2 Regulations, subject to conditions contained in the subcommittee report. Do I have a second?
Second.
Very good. We now have a motion to approve a second, so I'll open discussion of the subcommittee report to the commission, and I'll start on my right. Ron?
No questions.
Jim?
No questions.
David?
I just want to applaud everyone because what we're trying to do, as Jim spoke about, is to create consistency with the recommendations of the Downtown Master Plan. And I think that we have accomplished that, and I think it's going to be a huge asset.
Very good. James?
So just to clarify then, this language that's in red is being added to the code, so it'll be parentheses and then that language, and then it'll reference this Exhibit C as the defined downtown master plan parking study area.
So as it's proposed, that language in red would be added. The Exhibit C, I didn't anticipate that would be added into the code, but that is what is in the study, and so it references the study. And so that Exhibit C was just for your quick reference while you had it here.
Okay, so it references the study, which then defines
the study area.
Study area.
Yeah. So okay. We do this too. I mean, we reference some other studies in the code, but not all the time. It's not great to do that because in case something gets amended, but we do it. We did it for a telecommunication study in the past, so it's not uncommon. But that was just the. Honestly, rather than trying to verbally depict the study area boundaries, that was the easiest way that I saw it.
So. Okay, thank you.
Very good.
And just one point, too. I think on the motion, I think maybe David reading the report was assumed as a motion, because there's no motion, but Jim seconded. So if we could, I guess if we can go back and get a motion.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve. As second, we've had some discussion. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, I will call for a vote to approve PZ0919 Downtown Master Plan Recommendations, Round 1, B2 Regulations, subject to conditions contained in the subcommittee report. All in favor, raise your right hand. Unanimous approved. Now, it suddenly dawned on me that we actually have two. So our third item of unfinished business is PZ9-19, parenthesis B, an amendment to, just go ahead, Jonathan.
So this is the second item is building height. The difference with this one, so again, this is, as you mentioned, the whole conversation This language is a little different in that it only is proposed to affect DPZ with the study. Really, to eliminate the maximum feet, so for DPZ, that is 40 feet and 4 stories. Maximum feet measurement as a way to allow roof lines, right? So maximize profit, then everybody's going to go. Design and building design by allowing the little bit of flexibility by just rather than feet, then you can get. So I mentioned this one, the proposed language is only for are in the downtown, they are completely different, in a different way. Essentially, it would be apartment to be used to reference only stories rather than stories.
Yeah, very good. Any questions for Jonathan? All right, seeing none, will the subcommittee please?
Oh. I just have a random question.
Go ahead, James.
What was the zoning for Aberdeen Heights? Okay.
Special use permit. Okay, yeah,
so,
thanks.
Yeah, so we're okay. Not, with all these downtown, we're not touching the residential yard.
Any further questions? All right, will the subcommittee please read the subcommittee report?
Yeah. Petition number PZ919B, an amendment to the City of Kirkwood Code of Ordinances, Appendix A, the City of Kirkwood Zoning Code as it pertains to height requirements in the B2 district, specifically Section 510.6, and it is the petitioner is city initiated. The subcommittee recommends that the amendments as detailed in Exhibit B to Section A-510.6 of the Zoning Code be approved. Respectfully submitted, Jim O'Donnell, David Eagleton, Ron Evans, and Matt Mallinckrodt.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to approve PZ-09-19, parenthesis B, Downtown Master Plan Recommendations, Round 1, B2 Regulations? Do I have a motion to approve?
You have a motion. Yes.
Second? Okay, very good. We now have a motion to approve and a second, so I'll open up discussion of the subcommittee report. I'll start this time on my right with Ron.
No questions.
Jim?
No questions.
David?
No questions.
Jim?
No.
James?
Comment.
Matt?
Just one quick comment.
Sure.
You know, when we had the sub, for those who weren't there, when we had the subcommittee meeting, we took four issues to start with, and you see two of them tonight. So we took the easiest to the hardest. And so we did have one other commissioner come to the subcommittee meeting, and they're interesting discussions. It gets more complicated with the next two coming up, so.
All right.
Only comment.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I will now call for a vote to approve PZ-09-19, parenthesis B, Downtown Master Plan Recommendations, Round 1, B2 Regulations. All in favor, raise your right hand. Unanimous. Very good. So this will go on to City Council. We have no new business this evening. We have some internal items. Jonathan, would you like to take the floor?
Yeah, if I could. Before we get to the item on the agenda, another thing in reference to kind of reflect what Matt or build off of what Matt said with about the upcoming two other upcoming items. So we don't have any new business applications for the October 3rd meeting. However, the next two items that reports will be ready for are pretty hefty. So I would just recommend that we still hold that meeting to discuss those. So the setback requirements and a whole new regulation type is frontage occupation. So I think the reports are in good shape and we'll have them ready, but just be prepared to have those detailed discussions at the next meeting, and I...
It'll be October 3.
October 3rd, and then now we did get an application, but it's one that requires a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission, which we don't get all the time. So that's what I also wanted to mention. October 17th, we will be advertising for a public hearing for a new preliminary development plan for the B4 district, which is the Shop and Save site. So I'm sure most of you have heard the news about Shop and Save, so that site's for sale, and we do have an application now for somebody that's wanting to reuse the existing building as well as add additional uses to the site. I won't get too far into it, but it's going to be a fairly complicated. They're going to be doing a preliminary development plan for that planned district, so it's a little bit different than we usually do. They're going to have two special use permit requests and text amendments for, I think, three different sections of the code. So all these things will be concurrent, and that will all kick off on the public hearing is specific to the preliminary development plan, but because it's all tied together, we're going to bring them all together to you. So again, October 17th would be the public hearing. I guess the sooner the better. If you know you're not going to be here that night, please let us know.
Not anymore.
Okay, I think that was it for the upcoming meetings. And then, so that the actual internal item that was on the schedule, as you all know, we had an update about the Vianney case, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mr. Hessel.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'll try to be brief about this. What I would recommend is that we very broadly and generally discuss the federal court opinion that was issued on September 7th, then go into a closed session to discuss some of the implications of that opinion. And I apologize to Jim and Ron in advance. You obviously weren't involved in any of the facts that got us to that stage. But I do think that...
Apologizing to you that you were involved?
Well, I needed to be involved, if you will. But I'm trying to be very objective about this, not editorialize. But Ron, I will simply say that it was a very unfortunate lawsuit, to say the least, if not the most unfortunate situation that I've had in all the years that I've had the pleasure of representing the city. But let me give you I provided everybody with a copy of the opinion, 33 pages long. I don't know if you all read the opinion. I'm going to assume that at least you scan through it. But in order to fully understand it, let me just briefly recount the facts as reported in the opinion. And in general, they are that in late 2014, early 2015, Vianney decided that it was going to renovate its sports field property, which is really, if you're familiar with the property, that's where they have played baseball, as distinguished from their football field, which is more on the south side of the property. This is on the north side. As part of that, they considered installing lights. They ultimately determined that they would install lights, and they were informed by their contractors that the lights would not comply with the lighting regulations. And let me even back up further. The lighting regulations were adopted by the city of Kirkwood back in 2012. Lights were installed prior to that on the Vianney football field, so those were never at issue under the lighting regulations. Similarly, lights were installed on Kirkwood High School's football field prior to the adoption of the lighting regulations. So those are in a different category, if you will. Vianney decided that it would apply for a variance because they could not meet the lighting restrictions. Unfortunately, in June of 2015, Ryan Spencer, then the city planner, believed that this was the proposed lighting was an improvement to an existing legal non-conforming use. In order for that to occur, you have to have lights on the field that existed prior to the adoption of the 2012 lighting regulations, and this was an improvement to the non-conforming lights. That was his belief. It's on the record that he told me about that. I questioned him on it.
He was insistent that that was the facts, and then he notified Vianney that, in fact, they could proceed because this was an improvement of a legal non-conforming use. I'll fast forward, and let me also add that as part of these improvements, Vianney's contractors did not apply for a site plan at the time they started construction. It wasn't until October of 2015 when an inspection took place that it was realized that not only were they altering the grade of the field, but they were also constructing dugouts and batting cages and other things that required the stands, that required building permits. And it's at that point in time that the city insisted that they belatedly seek site plan approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission. And it's unfortunate that it was, there's a lot of unfortunate aspects in the story, but that was unfortunate as well, because by any reasonable estimate, the field was 80%+ constructed, if not more. So we allowed Vianney to proceed with the construction subject to the imposition and compliance with any and all restrictions imposed by the Planning and Zoning Commission through site plan review. So they went through that process. It became apparent to them that they were, well, because the city informed them that they would not be allowed to use the lights if it did not conform to the code. So then in 2016, they sought a variance. And that variance was denied in the latter part of 2016. They then filed a lawsuit, and there was two lawsuits that were filed. The first lawsuit that was filed, and I'll call it the circuit court case, was filed in October of 2016 before the variance appeal to the Board of Adjustment had been fully completed. And that lawsuit is still pending in the Circuit Court of St. Louis County. It, in essence, challenges the Planning and Zoning Commission's right to impose any restrictions whatsoever as part of its site plan approval. It also challenges the constitutionality, the reasonableness, rather than me paraphrasing it. They argue that the conditions imposed are arbitrary, capricious, unreasonable, invalid, illegal, ineffective, null and void, unconstitutional, alter vires, not supported by competent and substantial evidence, and abuse of discretion. That case is still pending. That case has sort of been put on hold because after the Board of Adjustment denied the request for a variance, they then filed what I call the federal case, and the federal case was brought in six counts. The first count was a challenge to the decision of the Board of Adjustment, arguing that there was no legitimate basis for the Board of Adjustment to have made a determination to deny the variance. Count two is a count called inverse condemnation, and that is a claim that the city unlawfully deprived Vianney of the use of its property through illegal, unreasonable regulations on the use of its property, and it asked for damages for inverse condemnation. The third count and fourth count relate to a federal statute called the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, sometimes referred to as RLUIPA. And they had two separate counts associated with that because RLUIPA, you analyze the issues twofold. One is an equal protection argument, and the other one is a substantial harm, both based upon the contention that a religious organization is being denied the entitlement to engage in its religious practices based upon regulations of the city. So they pursued those claims. Again, without boring you too much with all of the details other than what I already have bored you with, the equal protection clause is based upon a comparison between Vianney and another high school. Obviously, that comparison has to be Kirkwood High School. It's the only other high school in town. And they were arguing that we treated them differently than we treated Kirkwood High School. And then the other argument is that they were substantially harmed, even if there wasn't a valid comparison. They were substantially harmed in their exercise of their religious principles and freedoms, and that substantial harm was caused by the fact that in order to fulfill their religious mission, they were entitled and needed to play baseball at night. I understand your reaction to it. I've had that reaction from the moment I heard it. They also brought a claim for violation of the comparable Missouri statute dealing with religious freedom. And then their sixth count dealt with a deprivation of their First Amendment principles because of the regulations that the Planning and Zoning Commission imposed on them with respect to their sound system. Okay? In this 33-page opinion, you will find that the court determined in the first instance that the RLUIPA claim, and I'm taking them in the order that the court addressed them, the count three, the RLUIPA claim based upon the equal terms provision. There was no factual or legal basis for that claim because when you compare Kirkwood High School to Vianney High School, you will find that both have lighted football fields with a sound system because those were built prior to the adoption of Kirkwood's lighting regulations. Kirkwood has a baseball field and a softball field, none of which are lighted. Vianney wants to put lights on its baseball field, so the court found that there really was no valid comparison between, better put, that found that there was no, if you use Vianney as the comparator, there was no differential in the treatment between them, except to the extent that Vianney had to go through site plan review, and Kirkwood High School goes through a different review process, and the court found that the difference is not based upon a discriminatory act, it's based upon the fact that Kirkwood High School is a separate governmental body, and the city is limited to regulating them based upon public health safety. So the court really found that that difference is not based upon any acts that the city could avoid, but based upon the status of the law. With respect to the claim of substantial harm, the court had a similar reaction as you all just did, that there is no basis whatsoever. I'll read it. Vianney has not determined that its ability to use the lights and sound system constitutes a religious exercise, or that its inability to use the lights and sound system constitutes a substantial burden on its religious beliefs. Vianney has failed to demonstrate that it needs to use lights and a sound system as part of its religious exercise. In fact, when Vianney initially applied for a variance in June of 2015, Vianney's president, Michael Oett, stated that Vianney's real purpose to lighted field was to practice and compete in sporting events. So the court determined that there was no basis for that claim as well. The court then addressed the Missouri Religious Freedom of Information Act and obviously made short work of that, saying that the analysis that it did with RLUIPA was identical to that. It addressed the inverse condemnation claim by quickly indicating that Vianney can still use its field, as it has for the last 57 years. The only thing that the city is doing is enforcing lighting regulations that were imposed, and that does not deprive them of the use of their property. The court then jumped back to the initial count, which was the challenge to the Board of Adjustment, and spent five, six, seven pages discussing all of the evidence that was presented by the neighbors and by the city, justifying why the Board of Adjustment denied the request for the variance and affirmed that decision. Lastly, the court determined that the argument that the limitations on the use of the sound system is not a deprivation of their First Amendment rights. And primarily for Ron and Jim's purposes, the conditions that were imposed as part of the site plan review and are still subject to the lawsuit out in St. Louis County is that A, the lights have to be compliant with the code. B, the lights may only be used for athletic practices or games. The lights may only be used during the hours of 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. from June 1st to August 15th, between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. from August 16th to May 31. It also indicated that the speaker and sound system may not be used more than 30 minutes prior to a scheduled athletic event and shall be limited to the playing of the national anthem, general pregame announcements such as for team lineups, and in no event shall the sound system be utilized for the playing of music, play-by-play announcing, or athletic practices, and the speaker and sound systems may only be used during the hours of 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., June 1 to August 15, between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 p.m., August 16 through May 31st. So those were the conditions that were imposed. In essence, on the First Amendment claim, the court held that the city is not infringing upon their First Amendment rights. If they want to engage in religious practices, if they want to engage in First Amendment speech, they can certainly do that. They just can't use a sound system to do that. The First Amendment does not guarantee any of us the right to blast our message through a speaker system. So that's where we are. Needless to say, we're pleased with the verdict. We can talk in closed session about what Vianney's, what I believe Vianney's options are. And then we should also talk about what implications this opinion has on the circuit court case. And I will just tell you, I don't know what Vianney intends to do with this circuit court case, nor what they intend to do with the federal case at this stage. So.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for that summary. Now, you have suggested that we go into closed session, so I'm going to ask for a motion to exit and proceed into a closed session. Do I have a motion? Second?
Second.
All in favor, raise your right hand.
Yep,
oh, roll call. Ron?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
I'm a yes.
Yes.
James? Matt?
Yes.
Okay, so we will retire to the...
Then we can go downstairs. You want to go downstairs?
We can go anywhere you like.
Well, there's more room downstairs.
All right, sure, that'd be great.
And you may.